You are normally very stupid. But this time, you have devised a very good plan.
You're listening to Extra Life Radio.
That was great! A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
And now, Scott Johnson.
Hello, my friend. Hello. Hey, welcome to the My Extra Life podcast. This is Scott Johnson, your host, and we are coming to you live to Hard Drive on, August 8th, 2005. Good times. Won't it be fun when it's 8-8-0-8? That'll be great. Maybe we'll do a show that night as if we're going to be doing this in 2008. Hey, maybe we will. Who knows? Welcome to the show. Again, I'm Scott Johnson, your host. Thanks to MindOnTheNet.com for helping sponsor the show, and a special thanks to you, the listeners of the Extra Life podcast. Part of the Tech Podcast Network at TechPodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Make sure to go to TechPodcast.com and check out the 30-plus technology-centric shows for the geek in all of us. Good stuff. Totally worth checking out. If you'd like to join in the fun and be part of the show, email your written or audio comments to. Now you need to write this down because this is a new address. What I was finding is when people would send MP3s to me, they were destroying my myxtralife.com domain address. And so I've set up a Gmail account, and you'll want to send your written or audio comments to myextralife@gmail.com. MyExtraLife@gmail.com. It would have been extralife@gmail.com had someone not already taken it.
Jerks.
Or you can call the beef line. It's always ever popular. We have a beef call coming up later. That number is 206-350-BEEF. That's 206-350-BEEF. Let me introduce the cast.
Into the phone.
Moo, you guys talking already? Gosh dang it. I'm just kidding.
That's what you bring us here for. You bring us here to talk.
Yeah, that's true.
You know when we talk, patties.
You nag at us.
I nag?
We're discussing you drinking.
Yeah, that'll ever...
You think you have a problem, Scott.
A drinking problem?
All you gotta do is make the first step. We can get you help.
This is an intervention, is what this is.
We have to do it over the airwaves.
All that water I drink and that lemonade is big trouble.
You know, to get the support of the whole world. But we honestly think that you, out of respect for our listeners, you shouldn't do the podcast drunk anymore.
All right. All right, I won't. And you know what's funny is I've never drank an ounce of alcohol in my life, but I've got Robitussin right here, a nice big family-sized bottle.
What I say, Brian?
Robitussin.
You called
good.
It denial. He's in denial.
Yeah, I'm in denial. Okay, listen. I mean, shut up for a minute. We have on the phone with us...
You listen. We care about you.
I know. I'm a little angry because I can't drink anymore. We have with us Brian from South Carolina. Brian, how's it going?
Howdy. Good.
Obsidian from the fine country of Colombia. Obsidian, how are you today?
Hola, ¿cómo están?
Sweet. Little international flavor. El flavor or whatever. Andrew comes to us from the sunny state of Florida. And
hey.
It's the big target for all the hurricanes this year, but we're glad to have him here with us tonight. Andrew, how are you?
I am good. I'd right. rather have rain, no hurricanes, please.
Yes, please. My wife comes from Mississippi, also hurricane country. Not a good time down there. But, I keep bumping something, sorry. But it's good to have everybody here. We got a fresh show for everyone. Before we get started, I got to tell everyone a quick story. This is kind of funny. So hear
is
me out.
Is it about
out.
You in the bathroom again?
No, but it's close.
Do the voices.
Okay. There's no voices, but here's what happened. The other night, 11 o'clock, I'm going to make sure the house is kind of all shut, lights are off, garage is shut, and all this kind of stuff. The cat apparently was locked out of the room that he uses to do his business, if you know what I'm saying. Well, I didn't know this.
Scott, what are you saying?
In my... where he takes a dump, thank you very much, right there in the litter box. Well, the door was shut, and he couldn't get in. Well, what does the cat do? He laid a big cat loaf on top of a beanbag chair.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Now, hold on. It gets worse. Actually, it gets better. This is very funny.
Man, I sleep on a beanbag chair.
No.
Good thing you don't sleep on Scott's.
Yeah, you don't want this one, dude. There's a little chocolate surprise on the top of it. But anyway, I saw this thing, and I was so pissed. I'm thinking, where is that frickin' cat? The cat who ate through my headphone cables, and, the cat's on the poo-poo list, literally. So I took this beanbag.
And I thought, well, I'm not going to clean it tonight. It's 11 o'clock. I'm tired. So I take it out to the garage, the entrance to the garage. I open up the door, and I just think, I'm just going to put it down there. My other car was parked in the driveway, so I thought, no big deal. I'll just plop it down. So I just kind of hefted it and tossed it into the garage off about four stairs. It hit the floor, the cement, and like a spring-loaded launcher, and I'm not kidding about this, it shot that cat turd pile in one piece, like in a perfect arc. It just like went and shot like way in the air, and it actually like licked the undercarriage of my my garage door that was shut, and came down and landed flat on the trunk of my freaking car.
You know what that is, Scott? That's karma.
That is karma, dude. The moral of the story, I told some guys this over the weekend, the moral of the story is, sometimes our actions have unexpected results. Mm. So learn from that, will you?
That's the moral of the story.
The moral is kill your cat before he can do any damage. But I wanted to be nice.
And I was expecting more, you know, out of the moral of the story.
The cats do that on purpose too. I've had my cat get upset with me and do something like that on purpose.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they do that on purpose. So
did he write you a note?
No, he didn't even write me a note. So now what I do is when I'm upset with my neighbors, I do the same thing to them.
Yeah.
Crap on their lot yard? What do you do?
Crap on their beanbag. Then launch it onto their car. That's good times. Well,
that is so depressing because I don't actually, for reasons I will not go into, I don't actually own a bed. I own a beanbag and I sleep on it. So if somebody took a crap on my beanbag, I'd be very angry. But
you'd only be angry at yourself.
But I'm unable to be angry at a cat. I mean, it's a cat. It's a cat. It's so cute. I can't be angry at a cat.
Dude, they're not cute when they're squatting over your beanbag, staring at you with their red eyes, taking a dump. Well, hey, listen, we are missing two of our regulars tonight.
Like you.
Who? What? What'd he say? I missed that part.
I think your cat maybe just he doesn't like you.
Oh. Well, he might not. I hadn't thought of it that way. Hey, where's Chris and where's Mike tonight?
Well, you mentioned where Chris Mike was.
Yeah, we won't say that on the air. Yeah, trying to maintain our G rating. See, you can have all the poop jokes you want because kids shows are full of them, I figure. If you see that pacifier movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. That thing's one long fart joke, the whole movie. Holy crap. Anyway, but I digress. It is interesting, though, that we're talking about movies because the first segment tonight deals with a couple of things about movies. Now, for those who don't know, you can head over to my...
Man, I got to compliment you on that.
What?
Very, very subtle tie-in to the whole movie subject.
We call that a segue here in the U.S. of A.
California?
Yeah, in California where I live. my take on the movie business, I posted a blog earlier. It's basically a rant, a little blog post about the movie industry complaining about how they're losing money hand over fist. And they mainly are blaming piracy. I think they're totally wrong. I think they couldn't be more wrong. And if you want to read the whole article, you can. It was long. I don't know how many words this was, but I kind of went overboard. But you might want to check that out. Anyway, the long and the short of it is I think the movie industry is taking a similar road that the video game industry took in the 80s. And that is about 1984, Nintendo comes out with a home machine that rivals an arcade for the first time. Before that, the arcade was the place you went to get the cutting edge, to get the experience of playing the coolest games there were. And Atari was kind of like VHS tapes to movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Whereas DVDs and home theater systems and 55-inch widescreen TVs and high definition and all these things, it's a better experience to do that in your own house and watch a movie. It's just as good a sound, just as good a picture. It's in the comfort of your own home. And the kids can, there's a bathroom right up the hall, and they can go take care of themselves. And you can cook your own popcorn. It doesn't cost me $20 to cook popcorn. Right, you can pause it. The neighbors can come over. You control the experience. I can turn the volume up instead of wishing the whole time. I wish they turned the volume up. And so what's happening is going to the movie theater is becoming a novelty, and an expensive one at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will supplant movies the same way the video game industry did, when it very quickly became obvious that you could do things in your home with video games that arcades couldn't even stand a chance competing with. And now arcades are they're there, but they're fewer and far in between, and they're more of a novelty experience. So what do you guys think? Am I smoking crack, or am I on the right track there?
You got a bag of crack in your hand.
Yeah. I think you're totally wrong. You're not even close.
Dude.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, tell us why.
Because you're an idiot. No. The reason why...
You are good.
This is a very poor comparison, really. I mean, because...
you think I made a fallacy of comparison. You think this is wrong.
I think the comparison is very weak, because I don't think the movie industry is really hurting because of home entertainment quality. I don't really think people are staying at home and watching them more like that, because I think their core audience, and this is backed up with statistics too, is going to be your 16 to 24-year-olds who are looking for a way to go out and have a date, a way to get out of the house, you know, away from their roommates and spend some intimate time in a dark setting. And that is just the core of people
who
go.
I'll take that, and I'll raise you this.
Okay.
I'll raise you this real quick, and then, Andrew, I want you to
pipe
you're
wrong,
in on
but
this.
Go ahead.
Here's what I'm going to say. When I was a kid, when I was that 16-year-old kid, well, I was a little younger. But
you were a kid?
But yes. When I was, this is like 15 years ago or more, but when I was a kid and let's say Return of the Jedi came out, I saw that 6 times in the movie theater, all right?
Yeah.
And there was no way I could see far enough in the future to think I'd ever have it in my hands at home. And the VHS version was going to be like $80 and it was 2 years off and it was a very different time. Now, Revenge of the Sith comes out. What motivates a 12 to 16-year-old kid to see that 6 times in the theater? First of all, the money doesn't, because it costs him $7 every time he wants to. Second of all, he knows that the thing will be out in 3 months on DVD. And third, Star Wars geeks don't get dates anyway. So that blows your whole argument out of the water.
Well, I mean,
wrong again.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead, Andrew. We'll let Andrew get his little word in.
Well, what Brian said about being outside as setting in the theaters and stuff like that, there's certain movies that are worth seeing in a theater, but at the same time, you know, for the cost of the money, and there's still movies that I will see multiple times. Like I've seen War of the Worlds now 3 times. Now, I didn't go see it just myself, but there was 3 different people.
You live in a bubble, Scott.
That wanted to see it. I liked the movie enough that I wanted to go see it again. I went to see Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in theaters recently 3 times just myself.
Yeah, but see, you're a unique individual. You're like uber geek.
But at the same time,
okay. Let me give you all the third world perspective.
Yeah, it'll be 3 years till you get the movie. Oh no, go ahead.
Well, here's how it is. For example, Hitchhiker's Guide. I haven't gotten. I mean, we don't have Hitchhiker's Guide here yet.
Will it be there? I mean, is it on its way, or do you just not get certain movies?
I don't know. I mean, just to give you a crappy example, but I actually like the movie, but more because I like the director's work. For example, Blade 2. We got Blade 2 almost a year and a half.
Ah, Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
Yes,
sorry, keep going.
I like his work very much.
I do too. He's awesome.
But anyway, for example, going to the movies here, I mean, it costs an average of about, let's say, 10,000 pesos, which for you guys would be about maybe a little bit more than $5. Now, I know that's probably very cheap for you guys, but for us, going to the movies is pretty expensive. It's pretty much the same as it is for you guys, and the food and everything. I mean, it's the same deal. Now, here's the thing. Very much like you guys, when I see that a movie's coming out, normally I go to the movie with the same person. We see the movie that's coming out, and we immediately say, okay, that one is to rent, or that one is to come to the movies, actually. And the only movies I go to see nowadays are the ones that I know that I will enjoy the added value of the whole big screen and loud, you know, all the loudness and big screen and popcorn and things. So I only go and see, you know, these big, huge productions that I know will have added value because they're in a theater.
See, well, I'm the same way.
I saw episode 3 and I enjoyed it very much, but for example, I don't go to the movies to watch a comedy. Because I don't need big, loud,
laughs.
Like surround theater quality sound for a comedy.
I agree with O on that factor. I mean, there's a lot of movies. Like I wouldn't mind seeing The Island.
Which rocks, by the way. I love that movie.
As much as, even though it's gotten bad critic reviews, it's gotten good reviews from people. But to me, that's a movie I could easily wait to either rent or watch on TV.
See, me, I'm the total opposite. If Michael Bay makes a movie, and I'm not always a fan of his. Sometimes his stuff sucks. Pearl Harbor was freaking horrible. But this movie, well, it's easily Michael Bay's best work. Some would say that The Rock is still
Which
better.
Movie?
It's The Island.
The Island.
I loved it. I was in the mood for just a really loud popcorn movie, lots of action and all this. And I'm telling you, there is a freeway scene on this movie. It will blow away anything you've ever seen in a chase scene. I guarantee it. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Is it better than the Matrix Reloaded chase scene?
Yes. Yes, I would say
Which, in my opinion, is one of the best car chase scenes up to date.
I agreed with you until Saturday, because up till then that was the end all be all freeway scene. This one makes it seem
The Rock had a pretty good chase scene too.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad.
That's
it wasn't
Michael
bad.
Bay movie.
Yeah, that's another Michael Bay movie.
You just like Nicolas Cage, man.
I hate Nicolas Cage. Actually, I like him in certain things.
You know, Nicolas Cage is playing Ghost Rider.
In certain things? So tell me, how do you like Nicolas Cage to be close?
I like him in... I liked him in Face Off. I liked him in...
Face Off?
I like that movie.
I like Face Off.
Dude. I love Face Off. Face Off's awesome.
I couldn't buy it. I couldn't buy it.
Dude, it's the best John Woo movie ever made. Well, not the best one. Best American John Woo movie.
And after all, I mean, I used to like John Woo's work a lot until he gave us Paycheck.
Yeah, Paycheck was sweet. And so was that Broken Arrow piece of crap. And what else did he do that I didn't like? There's a few things he's done I haven't liked, but I really, really liked Face Off.
Yeah, and in my opinion, Face Off has one of the best shootout one-on-one sequences in motion picture history, which is basically when... Sean Archer and Caster Troy on both sides of the mirror.
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
Yeah, very poetic.
Each one is looking at each other in the mirror. I mean, that scene to me is one of the most intense one-on-one shootouts.
And see, here's this is another problem. Most people, which I can, like members of my own family, can go see a movie. Like, go see Face Off and be like, oh, that was a pretty good action movie. But they don't catch the cool stuff like that, like the shootout with the mirror. Or, you know, because, I mean, there are fans that are like that with a film that actually will catch the nuances or the in, you know, the story behind the story and stuff like that. Yeah. But then there's a lot of people that are just like, yeah, man, that movie was awesome. They were shooting stuff and blowing stuff up and, you know.
Yeah, you sound like just totally all my friends.
Well, Brian, let me ask you this. You're obviously not a fan. What?
No, you're wrong.
Rather than ask you the question, I'm going to read off some movies that are supposed to come out between now and the end of the year, and let's just kind of have a consensus vote of what we think.
If they're all chick flicks, we're hanging up.
No, there's no chick flicks. Wait. I better make sure that's true. No, we're okay. All right, so thumbs up or thumbs down on the new Harry Potter. I give it a big thumbs up. What do you guys say?
Oh, it's going to be best. It's going to be the best one yet.
I'll say thumbs up.
Yeah.
I've never read any of the books, but I love the movies. Yeah.
But book four is the best book.
That's a no-brainer because, I mean, it's like with the books. Each and every book is better than all the books before it. It's been like that with the movies, too. I mean, each new movie totally outdoes the movies before it.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. So you're going to say thumbs up there, Obsidian? You think it's going to be good?
Yeah, I'm definitely thumbs up for Harry Potter.
Okay, cool, because I'm excited about it. Book four is easily...
And that sounded so wrong.
I'm definitely thumbs up for Harry Potter.
It came across sounding like you're like all Mr. Sarcastic and stuff.
Well, let me say this. I'm book four is still easily my favorite book, and I think that they can't go too wrong. The only downside is the director's done some stupid chick movies, but I can forgive him for that.
They're not using the same guy from the last one?
No, they got another guy's name. Mike Newell is the new director.
That really scares me when sequels start playing the that jump around to different directors, or even worse, when they go, okay, Harry Potter and the next movie is played by someone else.
Yeah. Well, part of it really makes me nervous.
But I mean, not to bash on Chris Columbus, which or whatever his name is.
Yeah, that's his name.
That is his name.
That's his name.
The guy that made the first Harry Potter movies. Not to bash on him, but because he's okay by my standards. But when they changed directors for the new Harry Potter movie, I think it improved a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I do have to agree with that. I was more impressed once they got a new guy.
I think you're just sad that they didn't keep him around.
More willing to take risks.
Yeah, I think you're like me. You wish the guy would stay around. But what I've heard is this: is that Mike Newell, the new guy, has better sensibilities for the specific story in this new one. And if that's what they're doing, I'm okay, because these are all A-list directors, and she got to handpick every one of them. And so it's not like she's going, oh, the last guy sucked, let me get the next guy. I think they're just picking the people who will best portray the story.
They should have Tim Burton do one.
Oh, my gosh. We may all die.
Oh, God, no.
I love him, but I don't think he wants – I don't want him near that property. But I'll tell you –
Tarantino to do
one. Let me tell you this, too. Obsidian, you may have known this already, but because you reminded me of it. But Del Toro was slated to direct Part 3. She was his first choice. And he was ready to do it, but then he had this whole conflict where he had to choose between Blade 3 Trinity. Thank goodness he didn't go that way, because it would have been better if he had, but it sucked. He did, and Hellboy, and then the third Harry Potter, and he chose Hellboy because it's just kind of a pet project of his, and we all know the backstory of that. But he was actually slated to direct Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. I was kind of blown away by that.
That would have been interesting too.
Her choice too.
Yeah,
what if you wanted him.
Been a very interesting.
It would have been the bloodiest.
I mean, I'm a big Del Toro fan. I'm a big Del Toro fan, but I don't see him with Harry Potter. I mean,
well, apparently he's a big fan. What I heard is he's a huge fan, and he was totally honored. But it was just like a bad scheduling thing.
Time.
And in the end, maybe it worked out fine, because the guy they did pick, that Andre Guron or whatever his name is, he's good. He's also Spanish or something, isn't he? I think he is. I don't know.
Well, Del Toro is Mexican.
Yeah, but the other guy, they ended up doing the third Harry Potter, I can't remember his name exactly. It's like Andre something, but someone told me he's also...
Agassi?
He's also a South American guy. So
the giant?
Way to go. Way to go for your part of the world.
The giant.
The giant.
Dude. So, I direct Harry Potter.
Okay.
Dread Pilot Wobbux.
Hey, look, we're making great time. We got to one movie so far. Okay, number two. We got Transformers, although that's not released this year, but it is going to start filming another Michael Bay film.
I have hopes.
Well, what is this going to be? Is this going to be animated?
No,
or
live action with like big CG robots. I think that freaking rocks.
This would be interesting.
See, I want to see it, but there is such a fine line and such a huge area for them to totally screw this up.
Yeah, they definitely could. There's no doubt about it.
Give them a chance.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It could be. It's really kind of tenuous. It's like, ooh, please. We just don't want them to screw up. That's all.
Yeah. I want it to come off really cool.
Oh, I hope they can do it. Anyway, so we got that coming. That's going to be fun.
I have seen preliminary like mock-ups, like where they've done basic 3D models to see how it would look in a real-life setting. And whoever they have doing the effects, I was very impressed with the prototype mock-ups.
Yeah, well, the technology is certainly there if they've got the budget to make this just incredibly cool. And if they stick to the spirit of the cartoon...
Well, Spielberg's the one who owns the rights to the movie.
Yeah, he's producer on this, right? I think
so.
Like that.
Well, you know they got the money then.
Oh yeah, he'll be fine. He's got his War of the Worlds money. Let's see, Firefly, that comes out not too long. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I say thumbs up. Anything sci-fi is good for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big fan of the Firefly Serenity setting.
Well,
anyway.
I'm just hoping that it's not going to be like a long episode.
Yeah, yeah. Like Star Trek Insurrection.
Which is something that happens a lot with those kind of things.
Yeah, with those movies, there's some of them like... I mean, I liked Insurrection, but at the same time, it felt like it was a two-part season movie.
Yeah, like a good regular series show.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like if it actually had that complete feeling, like, you know, this really could have had a commercial in between and you'd know no difference between it and the regular show.
Yeah, hopefully they don't do this here. The only worry I have is everybody looks just a little TV-like to me. It doesn't look like a movie to me yet from the trailers for Firefly. So as excited as I am, Is it Serenity? I keep saying Firefly.
It's Serenity. That's the name of the ship.
Yeah, that's the ship.
Name of the ship.
Yeah,
the ship's name is Serenity. The reason I don't know why they called it Firefly, but in the original series, Firefly is the model, the model of the ship. Like, the ship is the Firefly model of what you would go out and buy if you were buying the spaceship.
Oh, so it's like a...
Serenity is the actual name of the ship.
Yeah.
But Firefly is the name of the brand of ship it is.
They should just make a Millennium Falcon movie and be done. Except
get Harrison Ford and just watch people black out in the aisles.
He's old. All right, let's see. Brothers Grimm. I don't know a ton about it, but it looks good to me. It's a Terry Gilliam movie. That should please geeks everywhere.
What about the new Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, it's all greenlit. Script has been approved by Lucas, and they're working on it. But I don't think that thing will be out till like 2007.
Okay, I got a stupid question about that movie. Yeah. I was walking. You know,
I heard a bad rumor about it,
and I was thinking, okay, at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, he drinks from the Holy Grail, which supposedly would grant immortality, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
supposedly. If he stays within the bounds.
If he stays within the barrier that was set, he would live forever, but he left the barrier.
Yeah.
That is... Wait a minute. I didn't remember that part.
Yeah,
that was the whole thing.
It's made for the guard.
That's why the guard...
It's made for the guard.
Yeah, that's why the guard stayed there, because...
Yeah, the guard tells him that you're only immortal as long as you stay within the bounds of, the temple. Once you leave, it, doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so lame.
That's just bad writing.
It is so lame.
Well, that's.
I was thinking. You know, maybe it would be cool to see an immortal Indiana Jones in the fourth movie, but no, he left the boundaries of the little hole they had the Holy Grail in.
Well, how often do you think they can really get a 2-hour movie about him trying to catch a rat to eat while he's trapped in the boundary?
Oh, man. Dude, that's true, though. They're right about that. That's what happened. He went mortal again as soon as he walked out of the circle or whatever it was.
Man, I'm so disappointed.
Wow, we really ruined you today. Okay, I'm going to rip through these next few. We got Aeon Flux, or Aeon. How do you say it, Brian?
I have no idea.
No, I thought you knew.
I call Aeon Flux.
All right, we're going to say Aeon Flux. Hopefully that there's lots of scantily clad, strangely animated people in that. Let's see.
It's gonna be animated, I suppose.
Yeah,
no, it's live action.
It's live action. Who's the chick in it? I forgot.
Yeah, who's the chick?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Theron. That's who it is.
What?
And I have to admit, after seeing her in the costume, she's not as creepy thin as the animated version of Aeon was.
Yeah.
But she does look a lot like her, and they made her go through this grueling training.
Wasn't she the
monkey?
Wasn't she the monkey?
She gained a whole bunch of weight from Monster, and then.
Yeah,
now she's doing this. Wow!
Wasn't she
but
a monkey?
She even has some weight issues.
Wasn't she a monkey?
Well, hey,
wasn't
on,
she a monkey?
What's got?
Wasn't she a monkey?
What?
Wasn't she a monkey in Mighty Joe Young? Oh wait, she was just in that movie.
She was. She
you guys, my whole joke got ruined, dude.
She wasn't a monkey.
That was so funny.
Well, I don't know.
Is she a monkey?
Remember what Christian Bale did?
I have nightmares about that.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Yeah, remember what Christian Bale did for that movie he did before Batman. What was it named?
Before Batman.
American Psycho.
Christian Bale did an independent film,
which
is awesome.
The Machinist.
The Machinist.
Yeah, The Machinist.
The Machinist. Yeah,
and he was scary. He was scary thin in that movie.
He weighed 120 pounds. Every day he would drink one bottle of water and eat one can of tuna fish, and that's all he would eat all day to maintain his weight.
You know how stinky you'd be. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Then look at him in Batman.
And then he did Batman, and he bulked up to 260 pounds for Batman.
Didn't one of you guys told me that, or someone told me that he said that he's got problems now. It's messed him up.
His doctor even told him, he goes, you may not notice it right away, but that dramatic of a weight change, you will have permanent damage for the rest of your life.
Holy McGillicuddy, dude. Woo!
But he
Holy
did it.
Holy what?
He did it for
McGillicuddy?
His
own. Okay.
Yeah, sweet. McGillicuddy.
I'm
good with that. Whatever that is. Yeah, way to go. Okay. All right, let's keep moving here. We got The Great Raid. That comes out next week, actually. I brought that one in because I like a good World War II epic. I hear it's heard good things about it so far.
I've never even heard about that one.
Yeah, it's supposed to be some crazy historic raid where we saved a busload of nuns. I don't know how it goes. There's some cool thing. The Corpse Bride is the next big Tim Burton effort.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Now, somebody told me, and we need
I haven't been able to see Willy Wonka yet. You know, Charlie and
it's good, too. I really like that.
Yes.
Well, I really want to see it, but it didn't come in English where I live.
Yeah, you don't want that in Spanish. Ugh.
Yeah.
No way.
Hearing all those Oompa Loompas singing those songs in Spanish would just ruin it. But let me ask you, though, this Corpse Bride thing, what we need to do is ask our listeners. You guys, someone needs to tell me, is somebody's, okay, somebody told me this. The artistic style or the animation style that was used for Nightmare Before Christmas was stop motion, and it was handled by, what's his name? Crap. Ah. His name was just on the tip of my tongue. Brian, get on the research there.
I'm here. I'm looking.
I can't think of his name either.
Can't think of his freaking
name. You
know,
the Corpse Bride took just as long. It took 3 years to make the Corpse Bride.
Well, my question
is
this.
I don't understand who the audience is going to be for.
Me.
For this movie.
It'll be for me.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's just like...
it's very niche-y.
Well, also, Nightmare Before Christmas, a lot of the jokes were very adult, very dark.
My kids loved this. We watch that every year, twice a year. We watch it at Halloween, and we watch it at Christmas. It's like the big
Nightmare
tradition.
Before Christmas is one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, it's Nightmare Before Christmas is one of my favorite movies, is if not my favorite movie, period.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I feel like you do. I think it's just one of the greatest things ever. But here's what I'm getting at. I heard a rumor that the whole thing was done CG and was just to emulate the stop motion style of the previous film.
Well,
and
see, I heard it was actually stop motion or whatever, and it actually took them 3 years. They've been working on this.
Well, it looks like stop motion.
It took 3 years to do the last one.
Yeah, it looks like Nightmare Before Christmas as far as the style goes. My question is it really, or is that rumor I heard false? And if it is true, I'm kind of impressed because they've totally made this. It looks very stop motion to me. So anyway, if anyone knows, let us know.
It would probably be really easy to pull that off with a computer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got this kind of feel of sort of stuttery movement and some of the things that go along with stop motion, which I think is great. I'll be a little sad if they totally artificial the whole thing, but at the same time, you know, you do what you got to do. But I'd be curious if anyone out there knows or can confirm this, has any kind of article that states one direction or the other. Email us at myextralife. No. Yeah, I got to get used to this new email. myextralife@gmail.com. Oh, crap. We have to take a break. Hang on. I'll be right back. When we come back to the show, we're already 31 minutes. We got to crank it. We're going to talk a little bit more about a couple other movies, and then we're going to get into some of your listener email, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, My Extra Life listeners. This is Clinton Allvord from Comedy Forecast. I'd like to say that Dean Cain listens to my show, but, well, I don't really know that for sure. However, if you'd like to check it out, I'd appreciate it. It's a comedy podcast in 4 minutes or less. You can check it out at www.comedy4cast.com. Well, that's it. We're done, 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 done. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. Excuse me. We were just talking about movies with the crew here, and let's talk about a couple more of these. There's some cool stuff coming out later in the form of Wallace and Gromit and The Legend of the Were-Rabbit. That'll be good times. Speaking of, that's some good old-fashioned definite stop-motion action there. Let's see, Legend of Zorro, anyone interested in that?
See, that one, I never saw the first one until it came out on DVD. But I enjoyed the first one, Zorro, the first Zorro movie.
Yeah.
The second one, I could wait until DVD, but, I mean, if someone wanted to go see it and they were going to pay, I would probably go, but I seriously doubt I'll pay to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired of the whole big explosions during these period pieces, you know, like everything explodes, you know.
Everything's wrapped in C4. And
it's crazy. The horse explodes. Yeah, I know. You ride the horse, you shoot the horse, it explodes. Just really getting too played.
You know what? I had never thought of that, and now I think I've made my decision. I'm going to wait until that comes out on DVD, and then I'm going to make fun of all the horses exploding.
Before we dump out of the movie topic,
yeah,
I just browse around the internet. And I happened to notice something rather interesting about the movie Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Yeah, the
which
one
came
that
out
The one that had,
came out in 1984.
Yeah, the one that had the professor from Back to the Future playing the Klingon commander. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, freaking hate that.
Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah.
Yes. So I couldn't think of his name. Thank you.
One of the parts in the movie, they go back in time or whatever.
Yeah.
And they...
well, that's using the first capacitor.
No, they're in modern times, and they go into a restaurant to eat dinner.
No, dude, that's four. You're thinking of four.
Oh, okay. Well, no, in three.
Do they do that in three? I thought in four. I thought it was a voyage home that they went modern times.
In three, there's an actress named Sharon Thomas.
Yeah.
Who played a character in Star Trek III. All she's labeled as the waitress from Star Trek III.
Oh, wow.
Who searched for Spock. Well, I was doing a little bit of browsing around, and apparently Sharon Thomas is Dean Cain's mom. Oh.
We officially...
I'm an idiot.
And she's been in a lot of movies. Like, she was in Young Guns and stuff like that, but apparently she's Dean Cain's mom.
All right, listen, so this has been our Dean Cain moment. Yeah, dude, that's where he gets all his talent. That explains a lot. Oh, that's funny. I didn't know when our Dean Cain moment was coming. None of us had anything planned, but here's Andrew with a card up his sleeve.
I mean, you know what they say, 7-6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
I am starting to firmly believe that there is nothing in this world that we cannot connect to Dean Cain.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know. It has been getting more difficult.
Yeah. In fact, the longer we do this, the harder it will be. I mean, we're going to have a really hard time. Last week was his birthday. I thought that was the Holy Grail, but this is even better since we're on the topic of movies anyway. Anyone know anything about V for Vendetta? It's based on a comic book, Dark Horse comic book, I think.
Yeah, I know. Natalie Portman.
What's the deal with this?
Alan Moore.
This any good? Poopy? Lame? Good?
I've never read the comic, but I did like the preview. I was impressed.
Well, directed by the Wachowski brothers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Matrix guys?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I always get the Wachowski brothers.
I get the Wachowski brothers and the guys that did Dumb and Dumber mixed up all the time. Those two brothers. I always do. Seriously, okay. Someone will say that and I go, the guys that did something about Mary are directing a comic book movie? Oh, wait, that's the different brothers. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Obsidian. Please continue with your extraordinary insight.
Natalie Portman is in it. That's why you probably saw some pictures of her, with short hair.
Yeah, she buzzes her head for this movie, doesn't she?
Hmm.
Like,
yeah, yeah. They actually offered her the possibility to not buzz it, but, sort of CG it or whatever, and she said that, no way, I'll just buzz cut it.
Maybe she'll act a little better than she did in episode three.
You know, in episode three...
Well, you can barely call that act.
Yeah, in episode three...
Just like an appearance.
She was felt an like extra.
It felt like she was just standing there, and then as soon as Lucas would go cut, she'd be like, please, someone hand me my friggin' check.
No kidding.
You know?
No kidding. I liked her before that. I thought she was horrible in that. Anyway. One of my favorite movies
with her is The Professional.
Oh, yeah, with Luc Besson. Or no. Wasn't that
her first movie?
Yeah, that was her first film.
She was like 13.
And get this. Rumor has it.
They're doing a sequel.
They actually are doing a sequel. The same guy who wrote and directed the first one.
That's Luc Besson, French guy.
Has already contacted her, and she is going to play her character grown up now.
Oh, now wait, is what's his name going to be in it? No, he died. He blew up.
No, yeah, he blew himself
up. I love that guy.
But she basically
who blew himself up?
No.
Basically,
she takes his place because of what he did. She becomes a hitman.
What's his name?
Wouldn't that be a hit woman?
John. No, actually,
we got to be politically correct.
Be
I love that guy.
Correct. It should be a hit person.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you guys, you know who should be in a movie together? That guy, that French dude, the professional.
Michael J. Fox?
No, the French guy. Him and that big, tall, black guy that's in this island movie, and he was in Gladiator.
Oh, Michael Clark Duncan.
No, not him. He's in it too, but not him. It's the big, he was in Gladiator. He was the friend. Crap. He was in also that one about slave ships, the Spielberg movie from a few years back.
Amista?
Yes. That guy. Do you know what I'm talking about? He used to be a model in Africa. Big, tall, just majestic dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guy in the island, dude, is
the
amazing.
Fact that
he
Scott
is amazing
used the
in that
word
movie.
Majestic to describe a man.
He's so majestic. Look how the sun glistens on his skin.
Kind of makes me kind of scared there.
Oh man, you've outed me. Is what's happened.
Scott, you really got to get outside more.
All right, so we got V for Vendetta. We got The New World, which I'm always a sucker for historic crap like that. Unless it's Alexander and Colin Farrell being gay, then I'm not so interested. But generally, I really like that stuff. Let's see. Lion Witch in the Wardrobe, that's a big one.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's out
definitely
in December.
Definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, that'll be good. I think we've all read that. All right. So that were you being sarcastic? Didn't you read those books? Those books ruled, man. They were inspirational.
Yeah, I read those books a long time ago. Read them again not too long ago, and
are they poopy now that you read them again? Maybe I'm expecting too much. Maybe it's not as good as I remember it.
What, the books?
Yeah,
I hear there's going to be this awesome.
No, read them again, man. Read them again. They're still good.
Oh.
There's going to be this really awesome car chase where the lion's driving a Hummer, and then there's going to be barrels exploding, and then they're going to crash into a caravan of horses that are all going to explode.
Sweet, that'll make Brian happy because he likes
Zorro's going to ride in.
Yeah, then Zorro rides in on the back of a giant 6-foot gator.
Wow,
he comes riding
and
in.
He'll just put a big Z right into whatever he can find. All right, hey, I have some emails. Let's read these. These are from this guy wrote.
Right, I think I have email too. You want me to read?
That's the midday too.
Not. I think I have email. Let me read it. I'm saying we have some email for the show.
Oh, redo your mortgage.
This guy, his name is. What's with all these Spanish guys? Got a guy named Jose Matos. He says this is my first time writing to you, and I decided to write this after hearing your debate about video game violence.
He's like an email version.
Say what? He what?
He's
who?
Like an email
version. Oh, he's like an email version of Jose Mentos, the fresh maker. he basically just goes on to make fun of me about why I thought Resident Evil 4 was scary. So I'm not reading that one. Let's see. We got another one here. This is from Dean Kane.
Did he just strike a nerve?
I control the show. We got something here from somebody named Dean with a K at the end, and it kind of freaked me out.
Uh-oh.
But it's not him. It isn't him.
Almost. It might have been.
It could have been. It's actually a girl. This is from Christina.
This is alias. This is no one will guess.
This is from Christina. This is what Dean Kane changed his name to after the operation. Christina Kane.
Ooh, you're still going to get in trouble for that.
Well, when you're desperate, you do what you can. He says, or she says, curse you and your comic strip. 465 plus strips and 2 hours later, curse you. Just out of curiosity, do you know a patch for Diablo 2's expansion for Linux? Love the comics and the piles of monkey poo. I have no idea what that refers to. But does anyone know? I didn't know Diablo could even be played on Linux.
You can. I think you can play Diablo in a cell phone now.
Dude, that's new to me. Dude, never heard that before. Yep. That is weird.
Loki used to do all kind of conversions and stuff for Linux games.
Huh. Well, Christina.
You guys ever heard this one?
Who's Loki?
I don't know if they're still around or not.
He's the god of mischief. You don't
know he's
the
god of mischief. They used to convert a lot of the Windows games to Linux. They used to use them back in about 2001 when I was really big into using this Linux. But
if they can get Diablo.
LokiGames.com.
LokiGames.com. You got that, Christina? LokiGames.com.
Loki.
LokiGames.com. LogiInYourThroat.com.
I'm not 100% sure they got Diablo, but they've had a lot of games. Probably your best shot.
That's LOKI, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they can get Diablo to run on a Mac, they should be able to get it run on like a lawnmower or anything.
That's
really
true, dude. Once you get it on the Mac, you never go back. I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh man.
Okay, this one comes from somebody who says you. The subject line is "You worry me." This is from Con, K-O-N, not Con like Con.
Con!
It's not like that. That's the greatest movie ever. Okay, howdy, Scott. This has to do both with the radio and the comic. Considering your comic is about a podcast, he's talking about this recent one about podcasting, I don't think that you're really out of ideas. Well, I didn't think I was either, but apparently you think I am.
It is comic consensus.
Apparently. He says, I hear people all the time writing a bunch of new ideas to you. Of course, I could be missing the entire point of your comic anyway. So I have been waiting for Thursday's podcast, and it's Friday morning. What happened? Well, well, Con, while you were stranded on Romulus 5...
Irresponsible.
Wait, what was the planet he was stranded on that Kirk stuck him on? What was that called? Come on, trivia time.
Tau Ceti 6.
That was it. Way to go, dude. It's way to go. All they have is
that movie, I do agree, that has got to be one of the best movies ever created.
All they have is their mullets, those earwig creatures, yeah. And a bunch of material to wrap around their heads and stuff. That's all those people have, except the girls, who were voluptuous and proud to show it. Anyway, that was a great movie. Just love that show. He tasks me. Do you remember that scene? He tasks me. Oh, but he tasks me. When they were all trying to tell him that, you know, you've got enough. You have a ship. Just screw Kirk. And he just wasn't going to have any. He was just psychoed out and started.
Plus, you can't beat it when you got those nasty little earwigs.
Oh, yeah, dude. Going into Chekhov's big fake rubber ear. That was awesome.
Yeah, I know. It was so obvious that ear was like 6 foot by 6 foot built on a soundstage.
Yep, I love it. Just love it. That is the best Star Trek movie ever will be, ever was. That's it for viewer mail. Or listener mail, not viewer mail. We're not doing anything visual here. Although, I'm imagining... I'm just kidding. Let's see. What else do we have here? I think that may be the end of the show. Holy crap. We've gone 45 minutes. Perfect. This is about where I wanted to end. You guys have anything else that I didn't cover? Something we got to talk about? Anything?
Your intervention.
Now, I think we covered that you're an idiot.
Yeah. We cover that every show. What, Obsidian? What'd you say? What'd you say?
Did I say something?
Yeah, I thought you said...
I don't know. I heard you breathing.
He said...
Oh, I tend to do that, you know.
All right, well, I think that's going to hose us down for the day. I got a beef call to play and a couple other things. So for now, let's say goodbye to Andrew, Obsidian, and Brian, the three musketeers who made tonight's podcast so much more than it would have been had it been me and the little beanbag pooping cat that lives here. So,
see, if it was just you, Scott, it would have been like you liquored up being like, I'm doing the show right now. And you know.
Later on, I'm going to watch History Channel. That's about right. Well, this has... So thanks, guys. You guys are awesome, as always. And we'll see you next show.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you are. And thank you, the listening audience of the... I keep saying My Extra Life. Of the Extra Life podcast. Without you, we are nothing but the dirt of the earth. And we're just glad that you're tuning in and checking out the show. Again, if you want to participate, make sure you send me a beef call, 206-350-BEEF, or an email at myextralife@gmail.com. That's new. The old address is still available, but it's getting so bogged down with big files that I'm starting to run out of room. So use the Gmail account, won't you? Could be a mini cast this week. I'm hoping to have a conversation with a good friend from the Jawbone podcast. Some of you may have heard of. Turns out he's an artist in his own right, actually quite a good one. And he and I are going to just chat a little bit toward the end of the week about art and maybe a little web comics and just kind of the state of cartooning and caricaturism. Might be kind of fun for you, you that are interested in that sort of thing. Hopefully there are a few of you. And of course, we'll be back next Monday night or Tuesday for you with a brand new group cast with me and with all these idiots. And we'll look forward to that. So thanks a lot for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, Scott. This is Dr. Roberts down at the hospital. I got your test results in here, and it appears that you are pregnant. That's the reason you were sick last week, as well as your whole family. Yes, your whole family is, in fact, pregnant. Come down here, and we will run some more tests and figure out who's the father of who's whatever. Yeah.
Hey, I don't normally do this, but on the phone with me, on Skype rather, it's not really a phone, is somebody by the name of John. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay, John, apparently you're just a fan, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. And he just popped in, rang me. I was just getting ready to do the regular show, so I'll probably tack this on to the end of tonight's show when we're done. But John tells me he has an interesting connection to webcomics, and I'd like to hear what that is. So tell me what you're doing.
Well, I run a network right now known as the Rampage Network. It basically provides free hosting, layout support, comic management support, and a free domain to talented webcomic artists who can't afford real hosting.
Wow, that's way cool. When did you start doing this?
About 6 months ago. I kind of saw that there was a bunch of 12-year-olds who had their own hosting domains, and, you know, they had these crappy comics. And then I would see these talented web artists that stuck at places like Drunk Duck or Keen Space.
Yeah.
Ads everywhere.
Yeah, Keen Space is king of the ads, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So you seem like you're filling a real niche. Do you have a bunch of guys on board already?
So far, we have about 10 to 12 comics right now.
Oh, that's great. That's great. How long have you been doing it again? How long?
6 months.
6 months. Holy crap.
We're always looking for more talents.
Well, I'm more than happy to use this show as a platform to say, hey, all of you budding web cartoonists, web artists out there, if you think you're good enough, and even if you don't, let others be the judge of that. And go to this website. Tell me where they can go.
RampageSession.com.
RampageSession.com. So you heard it here first. Well, John, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome to do this anytime. I love plugging other people's stuff, and this is as good as any kind of promo we'd get, so this is kind of cool. So thanks for calling me, and...
One more thing, if I may.
Go ahead, please.
Right now, the site, the layout for the main network is kind of in shambles, but we have a new... better layout that should be up within the week.
Ah, good. So we won't scare anybody away.
Yeah.
Pardon their dust, in other words. All right, well, cool, John. Thanks. You'll make it on tonight's show, so make sure you check it out and listen.
Awesome.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot.
The way the system works. Two folks work, they both contribute to the Social Security system. If one dies early, the spouse, the remaining spouse, gets to choose her benefits or his benefits, which are ever greater, but not both. Now think about that system.